I have protection. Victor makes sure of that, and I have Clive. I'm perfectly safe.
Today would argue that, I mutter, feeling anger peek through the millions of other emotions Hayden makes me feel.
You need to leave, Michael. I'll ask Clive to start staying at the store. I'll be fine. You need to go,
she orders. She's standing now. She walks to the door as if to point the way. I hate that she keeps bringing up Stroker. It's like she's waving a red flag at a bull. Me being the bull. I'm sick of it. I'm here and I'm not going anywhere. Stroker or no Stroker, I inform her. As I say the words, I walk over and stare her down. My words are a deep, throaty growl, meant to intimidate. Hayden doesn't even blink. She brings her hand back and slaps me across the face. It's a good hit, one that connects and sends heat instantly through me. I grab her wrist, not letting her take her hand away.
Get out,
she cries, though her voice is quieter. Anger has made her face flush red, and her eyes have tears gathered in them that stubbornly refuse to fall. No, I tell her, moving my hand from her wrist and wrapping it around her palm and fingers, almost forcing her to hold my hand, even though our fingers don't interlock. I don't care. It's still the closest I've felt to being alive in months. I'm not going anywhere.
Chapter 8. Hayden.
I hate you, I cry, trying to jerk my hand away, but he doesn't let me. His touch is agony, searing me with heat and a need I've been trying to forget for 2 months. I hate him. God, I hate him so much. I hate him for making me love him. I hate him for pushing me away. I hate him for destroying me with his words. I hate him for leaving me alone for 2 months. But most of all, I hate him for coming back. Coming back not because he cared or because he missed me too. He came back to catch Blade. He views me and Maggie as a responsibility. He came back to leave again. I drag air through my lungs. They feel raw, just like the rest of me right now.
I hate myself,
he answers. And for a moment he looks so lost, so broken that some of my anger fades. I had Victor collect information on Michael that first month. I read about his daughter, his club, and exactly what my brother did to destroy them. I learned Michael's wife was a self-centered bitch who used their daughter against him. I learned the hell Michael's life had been before he found the club and then after. I always knew he was broken. I never realized how deep it went. The one thing that stood out above everything else, and there was a lot, the one thing was looking at a picture of Annabelle. She was beautiful. Long blonde hair with ringlet curls and a heart-shaped face that accentuated her chubby cheeks so well, you wish you could touch them, kiss them. Her eyes, though, were like round, sparkly blue diamonds with enough warmth in them to fill the world. She was special. Everything about her picture told you that, and reading how she died, how men had to drag Michael away from the burning carnage destroyed me. This man, this beautifully scarred, broken man who so easily crushed me, was damaged in ways I would never understand. He was shattered into a million fragments inside, and all of them were jagged and rough. All of them would leave you bleeding if you touched them. It would be suicide to soften towards him again. It would be suicide to try and hold him. Don't do this, Michael. I'm not strong enough to withstand you again, I plead.
I'm sorry, Beauty.
The nickname is like a knife going through my heart, plunging in so painfully that I can't help but gasp from the pain and shock. Don't call me that again, I whisper, agony laced in my voice so thick it makes it hoarse. Never again, I tell him, my eyes closing and the tears I had been restraining break free, and I hate that I feel them on my cheeks. I hate that I can't control them. I hate that I still love him. I keep my eyes shut as Michael brings his hand up. I feel his fingers barely touch the side of my face, touching along my jawline and under my eyes. His thumb brushes against the tears, and I hear his breathing. It seems so loud that all other sounds in the room stop. Everything seems to stop existing, except me and Michael.
I'm sorry, Beauty,
he whispers in his deep, gruff voice that I remember so well, ignoring my plea. My body trembles from the force of holding back my sobs. You pushed me away. You're already planning on leaving again. Why couldn't you just stay away, Michael? I needed you to stay away, I tell him, eyes still closed. The last sentence I say in a broken whisper that you can barely hear. At least I can't hear it. It's drowned out by the way my heart is beating in my chest and the fear rushing through my blood.
I can't. God help me, Hayden. I can't,
he says, and I cry harder.
What's going on in here?
I hear Clive asking as the bell on the door goes off, announcing his entry. I don't answer him. I can't right now. Truthfully, I wish he hadn't showed up. Michael pulls me into his arms, and I should be stronger. I really should be. But I go, willingly. I fall against him, and it feels like I'm breathing for the first time in months. I take in his scent, how safe I feel in this moment, and I relax against him, letting his chest catch my tears. His arm goes around me. Just one. With the other, he changes his hold on my hand, and our fingers wrap around one another, linking. Holding hands just like we always did. Just like the past 2 months never happened. But they did.
Chapter 9. Beast. It's like my heart has started beating again for the first time in months. That's exactly how it feels when Hayden's fingers wrap around mine and she falls into my body. Life where there once was death. I don't know what I expected when I saw her again, but the fact that she's in my arms is all I care about. I hate that she's crying. I hate that the pain coming off of her in waves has only one reason. Me. Yet even with all of that, all I can feel is relief. I don't deserve this. I know I don't. There is so much pain in her eyes. It seems wrong that her pain brings the first moment of peace I've had in a long time. Hayden is back in my arms. I can breathe again. What's going on in here? Clive growls, but I don't let it stop me. I continue pulling Hayden as close to me as I can, drinking her in. Everything. Her touch, her feel, her scent, and her breath. They all belong to me in this moment, and it's like a needle in the vein to an addict going through detox. Took you a while to get here, Stroker, I answer. I don't let go of Hayden, even when she tries to pull away. I do allow her to turn, in my arms. I purposely use his last name because he hates it. Can't say I blame him. I just wish that his first name made it a little more interesting. Dick. His parents should have named him Dick. I wrongly thought you and your buddy were watching Hayden. You okay, sweetheart? He asks, and I could cheerfully punch him in his face right now. Sweetheart, fuck no. Wait, you knew Michael was in town? Hayden asks, and I find myself grinning. Clive gives me a fuck-off look, which makes my smile broaden. Hayden, Victor allowed it. There wasn't much I could do.
You should have told me, Clive. You shouldn't have kept this from me. You've been lying to me, she responds. What is it with me? Why do I keep attracting men I can't trust?
She whispers, and that wipes the smile from my face. Hayden, I start, and Clive does at the same time. We both look at each other at the same time, and if hate were a physical thing, you definitely felt its presence right now.
I don't want to hear it from either of you,
she warns, and she pulls from my hold again. I let her go, but I instantly miss her hand in mine.
Dee Dee,
she yells out, rubbing her forehead above her eye. Hayden, Clive begins, but she holds her hand out, shutting him down.
Not now. Maybe not ever. Isn't this supposed to be your time off? You can go. As you can see, I have one too many bodyguards now.
She huffs, motioning to me, and just like that, the grin comes back. We need to talk, Clive answers.
We can talk tonight at home. I can't deal with it right now, Clive. I honestly can't.
I'll make tacos for dinner, he tells her, and just like that, the grin is gone again. I need this fucker gone. Victor's going to have to call him off, or I'll kill him. The choices are clear.
Fine. I won't need you to pick me up here, though. I'll have Dee Dee drop me off. She sighs.
No, we both say at the same time. I snarl at Clive. There's only so much a fucking man can take. I'll drop you off, I growl. I don't add that I'm going in and I'm not leaving. I hate that she used the word home with Clive. I want to kill him.
Whatever, she sighs. Dee Dee,
she growls out, and to be completely honest, her growl might be better than mine. Clive leaves quietly, making sure to shoot me yet another look of dislike. The feeling is more than mutual, and I will be talking to Victor about it. Hayden and I are stuck looking at each other, both of us with a lot to say, but neither one of us wanting to approach it. Dee Dee comes out of the back room, fixing her hair and adjusting her shirt. Her lipstick is smeared. Behind her, Devil and Jen come out, and Jen is in much the same shape. Devil is grinning like the fucking asshole he always is.
What's up?
Dee Dee asks, still trying to fix her hair.
Oh my God, you didn't. Both of you?
Hayden cries. Devil leans back against the counter, looking extremely happy with himself. Fuck. Or maybe that's just the look when you get your dick somewhere you really want it. I look over at Hayden. It's been so long, I can't remember.
I don't want to talk about it, Dee Dee mutters, blushing.
Don't be so shocked, Hayden. It's just three people enjoying themselves. I'd be game to show you exactly how fun sinning can be, he winks. But I'd rather not piss Sunshine off. I'm partial to my dick.
Devil jokes and I grunt, wondering how long it'd take to suffocate him with my hands around his neck. Dee Dee, I need you to run me down to the police station to file a report.
No, you don't. I'm taking you.
What? Of course you aren't. Dee Dee will take me,
Hayden argues. You need to reopen the store for business, so she needs to be here. I'll take you. Besides, we need to talk.
I think we've said entirely too much to each other.
Probably, but there's still things to say. Are you ready to leave now?
Fine. But you take me downtown and then home and that's it. We part ways and we never have to see each other again.
Let's go, beauty, I answer, ignoring what she said. I put my hand on her back and begin directing her toward the door.
I asked you not to call me that,
she whispers. I grunt in reply. Hey, Sunshine, I'll just stick around here and keep an eye on the ladies, Devil says, and I close the door on him. I really have no idea why I like the bastard. Chapter 10 Beast.
I thought you were leaving, Hayden mutters when I make it evident I'm coming inside her house. I do this by pushing through the door when she unlocks it, after first grunting when she refused to give me her house keys.
You thought wrong, I mumble, scratching my beard. Where's Stroker? What are you doing here? Get used to it. I grumble at Stroker's question. In fact, you can have the night off. I can?
He can?
Hayden mimics. Yeah, 'cause I'm here tonight instead of outside. I'll make sure Hayden's safe. The hell you are, Stroker answers.
No, you're not, Hayden argues.
I growl, rubbing the back of my neck. Everything has to be a fight with this woman. You were shot at today, I remind her.
I was not shot at. A gun was drawn, and it was directed at Jen and
whatever. You could have been killed. Maggie could have been killed. I promised to protect both of you, and that's exactly what I'm doing.
Just how do you plan on doing that?
She asks, hands on her hips and her cheeks flushed. With her stomach sticking out like it does now, she looks beautiful, just like this. I rub my chest, getting that strange feeling yet again, one of heat and pain. I'm moving in. Fuck no, Stroker growls. He's getting on my nerves. I toss him my cell. He catches it as it bounces off his stomach. Call your boss, I smirk. He glares at me and leaves the room, hopefully to go call Victor.
Michael,
do you want me to leave, Hayden? I ask her, deciding to cut through all the bullshit.
Yes, I do. You're lying.
Before you answer that, I know you're angry.
I am,
she says, shock on her face. I know you're...
Hurt? You hurt me, Michael. worse than anyone ever has, because I cared about you. I know you probably won't believe me, Hayden, but I care about you too. I watch as she brings her tongue out to moisten her bottom lip, and then she bites it. She's not doing it to be sexy, though it is. She's nervous. She's scared. I wonder what she would think if she knew I was just as scared. You have a funny way of showing it. I'm fucked up, Hayden. There's no other way to put it. I have a lot that I don't deal well with. I finish lamely, amazed at how pitiful that sums up the war inside of me. Annabelle, she says, whispering my daughter's name. It's like a kick in the gut, more painful than any physical blow. Yeah, I agree, my voice so thick it barely comes out. I saw a picture of her. She was beautiful, Michael. You did? How? I asked Victor to get some information about you. I know it was wrong, but I wanted to understand, I wanted to... It's okay, Hayden, I don't mind you knowing. I wish you had been the one to tell me. You should have told me, Michael. Before that night, I mean. She sighs, her hands clenching each other in that movement she always does when she's nervous or upset. I can't resist walking to her, and when I do, I put my hand over both of hers. I'm sorry, Beauty. About that night, I was hurting and raw inside. I just lashed out at you. I shouldn't have. You didn't deserve it. The things I said about your brother... I trail off, because there's not much I can really say here. I can't take them back, because they were said. I can't tell her they were lies, because they're not. Can we? I don't want to talk about my brother. I don't think I can. Not with you, at least not right now. I get what he cost you in your club. I know what he did to me. He wasn't a good person, but I just can't deal with all that right now. Fair enough. I tell her, clearing my throat. I don't want to leave, Hayden. I need to stay here and protect you and Maggie. I need to know that you two are okay. And then you'll walk away? Leave us once you know we're safe? How will you even know if we are safe, Michael? Are you listening to yourself? You want to protect us from Blade, and we don't even know if Blade is still out there. Life happens, Michael. Like today at the bakery. You can't prepare for everything. There's just no way. So whether you leave right now or a week, even months down the road, there's just no way of knowing if we're safe. You're being unreasonable. It would be better if you just walk away now, before...
Before what, Hayden?
Before you make me care about you again, she says, as if she's admitting a horrible secret, and maybe she is. But her words fire a hope inside of me I thought was dead and gone. I thought after that night... There was no way that Hayden could forgive me. I thought I lost the chance to ever touch her again. To just hear her laugh again would be a miracle for me. Then what if I don't leave? I ask her, point blank, wondering if she realizes how hard this is for me. Wondering if it's even harder on her.
Don't. What are you saying, Michael?
When we made love, I claimed Maggie. You let me, Hayden. What if I don't leave?
I can't. I'm tired, Michael. I can't process this tonight. I need time to think.
Then take the time, but I'm staying here regardless. Tonight and every night following.
I just said I wasn't sure. I need time.
For now, we'll stay until Blade is tracked down or caught. Anything else? We'll take it one day at a time.
Michael, we don't need to do this. I've been fine for 2 months. I have protection. I'm being watched over. Maggie and I are safe.
I'm not leaving, Hayden. If I have to sit outside in the rain like last night, every night from here on, I will. I'm not leaving.
You're not being reasonable.
I know.
I should have Victor escort you out of town and not even bother talking to you.
I know that, too.
You're an asshole.
I know.
Oh, stop agreeing with me already. I'm trying to fight here. Fine. You can stay at least tonight. One false move and you're out, Michael.
Duly noted, Beauty.
There are rules,
she grumbles, and I have to fight to keep from smiling, because I'm pretty sure smiling right now would get me kicked in the balls. I'm listening, I assure her, already feeling like I won a war.
You do not call me that nickname ever again.
Hayden, that's non-negotiable, Michael. I'll agree. For now, I warn her, not sure I can give her that. Her response is a growl under her breath.
And I'm not able to, but I still want it stated. There will be no sleeping together.
Done. You agreed to that awful quick? She mutters, clearly put out. Again, it's all I can do to keep from grinning. I guess there's only one more question, I tell her, studying her face.
What's that?
She asks, eyeing me warily. Are you going to tell Clive, or am I? I ask, and I do grin this time.
You really are an asshole,
she mutters with a sigh, and I resist the urge to lean into her and kiss her forehead.
Chapter 11. Hayden. My house is way too quiet. There's no possible way you can sleep in all this screaming silence. I can't help being scared about letting Michael stay. It was stupid, but the truth is, I don't want him to leave. If I'm being entirely honest, I'm hoping that I can keep him this time. How pathetic is that? It's the truth, though. I can admit it, at least to myself. I rub my stomach gently. Mommy is hopeless, baby girl, I whisper. Maggie pushes against my hand in response, probably in agreement.
Are you okay?
Michael asks, opening up my door. I'm fine, I sigh. What are you doing in here?
I thought I heard voices. I just wanted to make sure you're okay.
I was talking to Maggie.
Do you think she can hear you?
He asks.
I swore Annabelle could. I always wished I had talked to her more during Jan's pregnancy, but it wasn't the best of situations.
Maggie always moves and reacts. I like talking to her, I respond cautiously. When he talks about Annabelle and his life from the past, it touches me deeply. I can feel his hurt and regret. This is new. In North Carolina, Michael wouldn't even begin to talk about his past. Until that horrible night, I didn't even realize Annabelle was his daughter. I watch as he turns around. The pale light shining through the hallway bounces off of him, displaying his scars. To me, he is beautiful. I sigh. I should let him go. And yet somehow, I can't stop my big mouth from opening. It's 4 in the morning. How are you even operating? You just admitted earlier tonight you had been up all night, and then today, too.
I'll rest tomorrow when Devil watches over you and Maggie. I don't want to risk sleeping and not hearing you call if you need me.
Michael, that's crazy. Go use the spare room and sleep. I'm fine. I'll scream loudly if I need you.
Stop worrying about me, Beauty. I told you I'm fine.
I thought I asked you to stop calling me that, I mutter.
Sorry,
he mumbles.
I'll just be outside,
he says, going to the door again, and I feel like an ass. I don't know why, but I think I hurt his feelings. Before I can second-guess myself, I reach over and turn on the bedside lamp. I can't sleep, I confess, sitting up in bed, pulling the sheet up to my chest. Today was surreal. I think maybe I'm a magnet for trouble, Michael. He stops and turns back to me. With the light on, I can see him clearer. His hair is long and unkempt, as always. But sexy, like a lover's hair that you've roamed your hands in over and over while he... Okay, best not to go there. I haven't had a problem with my hormones the last 2 months. I thought that part of pregnancy had worn off, especially since I'm as big as the side of a house. Apparently, it only takes being within 2 feet of Michael. He doesn't help matters, wearing those jeans that hug him just right, a well-worn black t-shirt that clings to his muscles. God.
You do seem to get into trouble from time to time.
He almost laughs, walking towards me slowly and sitting down on the edge of the bed. Thank you for putting that nicely, I grumble, and I watch as his lips slide into an unconscious smile.
You need to rest, for Maggie's sake as well as your own,
he says uncomfortably, as if he doesn't know how to talk to me one-on-one. I hate that we have this awkwardness between us now. I don't want it. I just have no idea what to do about it. The house is too quiet. I'm used to Clive snoring, I say, just to have something to say. In response, Michael grunts.
I don't want to hear that shit.
What? I ask, and I'm probably completely clueless because I have no idea what he's talking about.
I don't like the idea of you living with someone else, Hayden. I sure as fuck don't want to hear about it.
We didn't... But... Good Lord, you're insane. I didn't live with Clive, not like that.
He cooked dinner for you. He lived in the same house as you, alone, for a month.
Michael replies. You are a moron. We're friends. He was hired to watch over me, and I never would have met him if you hadn't forgotten to take your meds that night in the loft. I huff in return. Just when I was starting to soften to the big jerk, he has to remind me he's an idiot. Michael lets out a growl that would likely wake up my neighbors. I'll probably get complaints from the housing association.
I'm not arguing with you at 5 in the morning, Hayden.
He barks, getting up. It's 4 in the morning, and if you'd stop being an idiot, we wouldn't, I respond in my own barking voice. Which is nowhere as good as Michael's, but that's beside the point. Michael rubs the bridge of his nose, holding his head down.
Why do women have to be so damn complicated?
It's one of life's mysteries, just like me wondering why men have to be so pig-headed and stupid. Ow! I end my mini tirade on a cry of pain.
Are you okay, sweetheart? What's wrong?
Michael asks, his anger immediately gone as he turns to me at the head of the bed and kneels down so he can see my face. I sit completely still for a minute. I won't lie, that was an intense pain. It was in my back and it only lasted a couple of seconds, but it felt like someone was stabbing a hot knife into me. It was so bad that it took my breath away. I wait, and nothing else happens. I think I'm okay. My back has been bothering me for a few days. Maybe I moved too fast or something, I tell him, trying to brush off his concerns and my own.
I was worried you were going into labor or something,
he sighs, still looking concerned. I rub my hand over my stomach and do my best to laugh it off. Nope, Doodlebug isn't quite ready yet. I smile. Maggie picks that moment to push against my stomach around my belly button. Whoa, I laugh, as even the sheet moves.
What is it?
Michael asks, and without thought, I lower the sheet and grab his hand, bringing it to my stomach where you can feel Maggie move the most. Maggie can feel the added weight of his hand because she kicks out harder. I laugh and look up at Michael's face. His eyes are warm with emotion, and his face is etched in surprise.
She's strong,
he said, his voice thick and grainy. She is, I agree. I know I'm insane. I do. I should be panicking. Yet right now in my bedroom with Michael beside me, Maggie moving under our combined touch, I feel happy again. The kind of happy I haven't felt since that day on the lake with Michael. Michael. It's always... Michael. I let my thumb brush against the deep, indented scar on his hand, and in that moment, I accept the inevitable. I will always love Michael Jameson.
Chapter 12. Michael. There's been no fucking word on Blade at all, I growl into the phone. I'm getting frustrated. The bastard couldn't have just totally disappeared, but with all the club's resources and my own combined, there has still not been a sign of him. It's driving me crazy.
None, amigo, Skull replies. How are things going there?
They're going, I sigh, rubbing the back of my neck in agitation.
Your mujer, she is close, see? She will deliver soon, he adds, and I heave out a breath that seems to drag from somewhere deep inside of me.
My woman. A joke. I've been living with Hayden for 2 weeks. I thought I could handle it. I thought we would go back to the easy rapport we had before. It's not working out that way. In fact, we seem to spend most of our time being awkward with each other. The only part we manage to connect about is Maggie. She takes pleasure in letting me experience things with her, and God, I do too. It's the first time I can remember that I haven't resented the fact there was a baby or child coming into the world that Annabelle couldn't stay in. According to her last doctor visit, she still has almost a month to go, I tell him. I'd like Blade to be found before then. I need to make sure Hayden and Maggie are safe, I tell him. My plan was to make sure Blade was taken care of and then leave. The more time I stay with Hayden, the more that plan fades and a new one begins to form. One where I get to keep both her and Maggie in my life. Can I manage to control the anger inside of me to do that? I have no fucking idea. I'll keep Torch sending out feelers, hermano. Keep your head up and your eyes open. Will do. Later, man. I answer and I disconnect the call, feeling strange. My relationship with Skull has been strained, to put it nicely. Most of it's on me. I freely admit it. There's so much water under the bridge, so many things that have happened, I know it will never go back to the way it was. I don't even mind it, which, I guess, makes me an even bigger bastard.
Did you get a hold of him?
Hayden asks, coming back from the restroom. I look up to see her slide into the chair. We didn't attempt a booth because Maggie is definitely making her presence known these days. Hayden's stomach is stretched tight. It's no wonder her back is causing her problems. I don't see how she maneuvers things as gracefully as she does. Yeah, still no word, I tell her with a sigh.
I told you, Blade has put me out of his head. You guys are all being overprotective for nothing. Maggie and I never meant anything to him. This is just crazy.
Blade is unhinged. You can't figure out crazy, and you sure can't trust it, Hayden.
Whatever. I'm just saying this is pointless. You need to get on with your life. You don't need to try and keep some promise to keep me and Maggie safe. We're not your responsibility, she responds.
This argument isn't anything I haven't heard over and over for the last couple of weeks. It is, however, one I'm getting tired of hearing. Since making myself known to Hayden, I have had one thought, and it's a thought that keeps repeating, especially recently. Can I somehow manage to control my anger enough so I can keep Hayden and Maggie? Is that possible? I feel calmer when I'm around them. I feel more like the person I used to be. Could I keep them? Hayden has a lot of her own anger directed towards me because of that night. I can't blame her. I'm actually surprised she's let me back in as much as she has. It's all a fucked up mess in my head. I shouldn't even be contemplating any of this. Not when I can't be sure I can keep control of my rage and not lash out like I did before. Still, I have hope. I can't stop the hope. These last 2 weeks have been good. What if I wanted you to be? I ask her before I can stop myself.
To be what?
She asks, confused. To be my responsibility. What if I wanted you and Maggie back in my life?
I'd say you forgot your medication again, and we both know how that goes.
She answers, her face going white.
Waitress, can we have our bill, please?
She adds, which pisses me off. Because we've barely sat down and have only had our drinks. What are you doing? We're not ready to go. I'm hungry.
Fine. Then you can stay and I'll grab a taxi.
The hell you will. Besides, I doubt nowhere Wyoming has taxis. I sure haven't seen them. Quit trying to piss me off and figure out what you want for breakfast. Don't bother denying it. We both know you're trying to make me angry. Just so I'll be an asshole and you'll have more reason to keep that wall up between us.
I don't think I need any more reasons than I already have,
she huffs, her voice pouting. That's good, because I plan on tearing that fucking wall down brick by brick, I warn her.
I don't know why, she sighs. You should ask yourself one thing, Michael.
What's that?
Why are you so anxious to tear down my walls and
get you back in my bed? I finish for her, watching her closely. Disappointment comes over her face, and I have a feeling I answered something wrong, that I made some type of misstep. Why does dealing with women always feel like I'm trying to navigate through a minefield?
Why do you want me there, when you had me there once and weren't satisfied until you pushed me out of it?
She asks, her voice quiet and sad. I have no idea how to answer her. I'm a fucking mess. If she knew how much, maybe she would understand. Maybe I need to start letting her see just how fucked up I am. Will that make her push me away harder? Or would she be the one person to understand how broken I feel inside? Would she care? Would she stay? Can I do this? I've got too many questions about Hayden, and not one fucking answer. Worse, I don't know how to get the answers. At least not easily. Fuck.
Chapter 13. Hayden.
If we're going to learn to get along, Hayden, I think we need to put the past behind us,
Michael says. I look across the table at him and sigh. Why can't you go back to grunting and not speaking? Remember that man? Be him again, I order, turning my attention back to the menu in my hand. I need to be smart here. Michael doesn't realize how much I want what we had back. I want it more every day I'm with him. The problem is, I don't think I could survive him leaving again. I need to keep myself together here because Maggie is depending on me. Michael leans back against the green vinyl booth seat. We got a table that has a booth seat on one side and then regular chairs for me, because there's no way I can fit in the booth seat. Michael is so big and broad, I'm not sure how he does. Somehow he does, though he still looks almost freakishly big sitting there, giving me this solemn look. I know I've disappointed him, and I don't want that to bother me, but for some reason it does.
See anything you like, beauty?
He asks. And I really need him to stop calling me that. I can't handle him being nice to me and using that name. I have to remain strong. I can't let him back in and survive. I just can't. Please stop calling me that, Michael, I sigh. And I think I'll have the bacon omelet.
No bananas and peanut butter.
I doubt you can get that here, but no. That craving stopped a month ago. I don't really have cravings now. I just feel fat and tired all the time. The doctor readjusted my delivery date the last time I was there. I wanted to kill him. I waddle when I walk and I can't see my ankles. But I'm told they're swollen too, I rattle off. I'm nervous. Each minute that I'm in Michael's presence, I feel a little more of my willpower slip away.
You're not fat, you...
Michael, I start to warn him, and he holds his hand up to stop me from talking.
How about we make a deal?
He says, and he looks so sensible, so relaxed. I have warning bells going off in my head right now. What kind of deal? I ask, cautiously.
I get to tell you one thing I think is important, and you have to listen without stopping me, without judging what I tell you. You have to take it on faith that what I'm telling you is the complete truth. Because it is,
he starts, and I immediately shake my head no. How is that a deal?
You didn't let me finish, beauty. In return, I promise to give you one thing that you ask for. Anything you want. It doesn't matter. Even if it is to buy you 100 peanut butter and banana sandwiches.
He shrugs. And you promise not to renege. You tell me one thing you think is important, and in return, I take it on faith and try to believe you, and you have to do whatever I tell you to do?
Within reason. I'm not leaving you alone and unprotected, but yes, anything else. And vice versa.
I like this idea, I tell him, thinking I could definitely use it to my advantage. He has to be getting something out of it, however. There's a look in his eyes that makes me think I have to be very cautious. Wait, what do you mean vice versa?
If you tell me something, then I get one favor from you,
he says, and I want to laugh. This sounds easy, because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I don't want to tell Michael anything. I'm much safer not talking with him at all.
Oh, and I should say that if you want to ask me something, or I want to ask you something, the same rules apply.
Okay, that little add-on makes me very nervous. Ask, I squeak out, and a nervous jerk moves through my fingers. Why this should terrify me, I'm not exactly sure, but it does.
Exactly. If we ask one another questions, we have to answer honestly, but the reward will be the same.
How often do we have to play this game? I ask. The waitress comes over and takes our order as I think over the conversation. I feel like I'm bargaining with the devil and I should stop. I have a feeling the devil always wins. Once the waitress leaves, Michael's eyes bore into me. Am I imagining how intense he seems right now?
There's no limit.
Oh, no. No way in hell. There has to be a limit, I argue, immediately seeing scenarios where he is constantly asking me questions I don't want to answer and hounding me with them.
Okay, fine then. What do you suggest?
Once a day, I say emphatically.
That seems awful safe of you. Come on, Hayden. Aren't there things you want to know about me that I've never told you? Things you've wondered but never asked,
he teases. And it tempts me. I have to remain steadfast here. I have to. Once a day, no more than twice, I respond, taking the bait. Crap. Michael smiles, a big smile, one that reaches his eyes. He knows he's won. I've played into his hands. I don't know exactly how, but I have a sinking suspicion I will soon.
Chapter 14. Beast. Damn it, I hear Hayden exclaim through the door. I instantly move to open it. You okay? I ask, peering into the dark room. She's sitting up in bed, reaching behind her to touch her lower back.
It's really getting creepy the way you're listening for sounds in my bedroom every night, Michael. She sighs out. My back is just cramping again.
Pregnant women shouldn't mention cramping because that sounds like contractions. Maybe we should take you to the doctor.
It's not that. My back just hurts. I injured it once and it's always given me trouble.
How did you injure it?
Dancing on tables at wild parties,
she says, looking up at me with an I dare you look. Funny, Hayden, I mumble, shaking my head. This woman never cuts me a bit of slack. Here, let me see if I can help. I walk around the bed and sit down on the side opposite of where she's laying. Her eyes go wide as the bed dips with my weight. She tenses and grips the sheet, as if her life depended on holding it.
What are you doing?
She squeaks when I all but pick her up and position her horizontally on the bed. Stretch out on your side if you can, honey, I instruct, more than expecting her to argue. It surprises me when she doesn't. She does it without protest. A small whimper escapes when I touch her lower back. I'm no professional, but it doesn't take one to feel the knots in her muscles. You need to relax more, I chastise, letting my hands slide under her t-shirt to begin kneading my fingers against her back. She seems to tense up even more at my touch. I do my best to ignore that and continue the massage. Eventually, she stops holding her body so stiff and straight and relaxes into me. Better? I ask, enjoying the freedom to touch her. I've missed her, more than I've allowed myself to admit.
You have magic fingers,
she also moans out. My fucking dick hardens, and there's not a damn thing I can do about it. I wish I was wearing my sweats, because suddenly these jeans are damn painful. Glad you think so, I tell her with a laugh, wishing my fingers were elsewhere. Wishing they were inside of her.
I didn't mean it like that, she mumbles.
Trust me, I know, I answer, and damn if that doesn't almost make me sound like a child pouting. Still, she's been keeping me at arm's length for so long, it's driving me crazy.
I can't believe you're still awake. You're a freak of nature. You're going to pass out someday when everything catches up to you. Human beings cannot go without rest, Michael. It's just not natural.
I'm not resting until...
Yeah, yeah, I've heard the song and dance. It's crazy. You're just in the next room.
The next room can be too far away. If I need to be by your side quickly, I murmur, concentrating on the feel of her skin and how fucking good it feels to move my fingers over it.
Clive stayed there just fine and nothing happened. What did Victor do to him anyways?
He had another job he needed him to work on, I tell her, leaving out the fact that the job was in Germany and that it still wasn't far enough away from her. And I can't rest without being able to see for myself if you're okay. When I have to crash, we have Devil, annoying as he is.
He's something, all right. He's got both Dee Dee and Jen wrapped around his finger.
God, that feels good.
Thank you, Michael.
My pleasure. I nearly groan. Thank God her back is turned to me, because I have to reach down and adjust my dick before my jeans cut the fucker in half. I need to steer this conversation, and my thoughts, away from sex. Quickly. Don't you have anything you want to ask me, Hayden? Anything at all? I ask her. When I thought of this little game at the restaurant that day, I thought it would be simple. I should have known that nothing is ever simple where Hayden Graham is involved. She didn't take the bait over lunch. She hasn't taken the bait in over 2 days. The damn woman is stubborn as hell, more so than I ever gave her credit for. All kinds of things, she shrugs, slyly looking over her shoulder at me. Her gray eyes are almost twinkling, and this is as close to a smile as I've seen from her since that day at the diner. She's playing games with me now. She's taken this game as a challenge. She doesn't realize that two people can play that game. Then ask away, beauty, I tell her, putting an emphasis on the name I've given her. Will you stop calling me that? She growls, her voice taking on this grouchy quality that makes her sound like a mama bear protecting her cubs. Is that the fee you want for answering one of my questions? You're unbelievable, she says, shaking her head. I'm going to take a shower and ignore you. If that's what you want to do, beauty, I tell her, flopping over on the bed, grinning when I hear her growl under her breath. I put my hands behind my head and try to think of some imaginary number. If I use the name beauty often enough, she's going to take the bait. I just need to be patient. Okay, fine, she huffs, and I jerk my eyes to her face. Or not. The thrill of victory runs through me. She gave in much easier than I thought she would. Fine, I ask, wanting it spelled out. I'll play your stupid game. Do your worst, but when you're done, you can't call me beauty again, she all but demands. She's standing across from me now, at the foot of the bed where I'm lying. She's got both her hands crossed at her chest, and those gray eyes of hers are glowing with anger. Her hair is down and ruffled from tossing and turning without sleep. Her soft pajama shirt is tight around her stomach, and her breasts are even larger now than they were in North Carolina. She's never looked better. She calls to everything inside of me. There's so many things I want to say to her, but even if she's giving in right now, I know she's not really ready to hear everything I want to tell her. I decide, then, I have to go the easy route. Hopefully it will get her to where she feels comfortable doing this more often. Fine. You want me to stop calling you beauty? More than you could ever imagine, she says passionately, which, if I'm honest, annoys the fuck out of me. I fight down that emotion, though. I turn my body to face her, then reach behind me and grab some of her pillows. I grab two of the four pillows within easy reach and stuff them under my head for support. I lay there looking up at the most complicated, beautiful woman I've ever met. She's so different from anyone I've encountered. She has her own scars, her own demons, and yet she's risen above them and came out of it all stronger. She's stronger now than she had been in North Carolina. Every day I'm with her, I see new signs of that strength. Got it. I'll stop calling you beauty, I tell her, vowing somehow I will find a way to do it. What question do I have to answer? She sighs, looking like I'm about to kick her damn dog or something. None. I just want to tell you why I started calling you beauty. I don't really... Remember the rules, Hayden. Fine. Get it over with, she says, and she doesn't realize how hard this is going to be for me. My palms are actually fucking sweating. My heart rate is kicked up in speed, but I stick to my guns. I want Hayden back. When Hayden is in my life, life is bearable. I can breathe without feeling like I'm drowning. I want to hold on to that. I need to. I'm desperate to. I just need to let Hayden in a little more and somehow suffocate this rage inside of me. At least enough so that it doesn't hurt her again. After Annabelle died, my world went black, Hayden. Michael, and I don't mean that figuratively. It literally went black. You've seen the scars on my face, the ones my hair and beard don't conceal. I had to wear bandages, a fucking lot of them. The pain was so intense that I was sedated, and when the pain wasn't the reason, they would sedate me, because the grief and the anger would pour out of me in waves of rage that couldn't be controlled. So much of that time is a painful, dull haze. I've been looking at her while I talk, but as the memories come back to me, my head goes down. I let myself think back and get lost in them. Slowly I began to heal, but everything changed. My brothers would come in the room and they'd do their damnedest to act normal. But I saw. There was pity in their eyes. The conversations were stilted, where they never were before. I couldn't talk much, not then. It hurt too fucking much. The worst was when Briar and his old lady would come in. They cared about me, I knew it. But here they were with their daughter, when I just lost mine. They would walk in, so deeply in love it clung to their skin, like a smell, a stink that slid inside of me and nearly destroyed me. They had everything. They were happy. They had love, they had their children. And I just lost my entire world. My Annabelle was gone. I hated them. I hated their daughter. Here was this innocent child who was happy and loved by everyone, completely innocent. And I hated her. I hated her because she could breathe and laugh and grow. She could do all of those things and my daughter couldn't. "Does that make me a monster, Hayden?" I ask, looking up at her finally. I hated an innocent child. It didn't even stop there. Months and months later, I would see a child and the hurt and anger would claw inside of me, like a living thing. It got worse when Skull's wife came back. It had been years, so you think I would have changed. I hadn't. I kept it hidden, but the rage and pain were still all there. Hell, I couldn't even stand to look at their daughter. I hated her, because her very existence was the reason my daughter died, I confess. Hayden sits down on the bed and reaches out her hand so that it lays over mine. One by one, her fingers slide into mine, and her thumb brushes against the largest scar there. Familiar. Calming. One of the biggest things I missed when she left was this. Her hand in mine. My chest is tight from the memories, but I grasp her hand tightly, needing it like a lifeline. "Give it to me, Michael," she whispers, confusing me. My eyes seek hers out. Those gray depths are shining with unshed tears and staring straight at me. "Give it to me. All of it, and then it's gone. Finish the story and we can start putting it behind you," she whispers, and a few of the tears overflow and fall from her eyes. My heart stalls. It's all there, the memories of what her and I shared. She has them. She's held on to them. She just gave me the very words I gave her all those months ago. She remembers. That gives me the courage to keep going. Once, at the club, we were fixing some concrete pads for the celebration the club was having. Skull came in with Gabby. It had been a bad day, Hayden. I try not to show it, but there are times, especially earlier on, when the muscles in my legs and arms are weak. Moments when the tightness of the skin and the nerve endings close to the damaged muscles ache. I can't handle being around people when I'm like that. I don't know how else to explain it. I had worked all day and then went to a physical therapy appointment for issues I was having. I hated therapy. The therapists tried, but the more they touched me, the more work they made me do, the more I had to endure. I don't know how to explain it, other than it felt like every nerve ending in my body was being tortured. I wanted to scream. I wanted to lash out. I wanted to hurt someone. So I did.
"What did you do? Finish it."
I just got back to the club and had crashed in the main room with a beer. Gabby came running in. She saw my burns and the scars because I had taken my shirt off. The air conditioner was broken.
"Finish it, Michael."
Gabby got scared when she saw me. She started crying and it was just too much. It became the edge of the cliff and I jumped without looking back. I screamed at Skull and Beth to leave. I screamed while staring at Gabby. I knew I was terrifying her. I knew I was making her cry. I knew it all and somewhere down deep, I enjoyed it, I confess, waiting for her to pull away and leave. To condemn me for being a monster. She doesn't. Instead, her hand tightens on mine. I stare down at it, watching as her thumb continuously brushes back and forth along a scar that once seemed so ugly, but now, with her touch, feels normal. Fuck, it even feels good. Calming. From that moment on, I embraced the blackness inside of me, Hayden. I let it swallow me fucking whole. I didn't care. I became a monster.
Michael, honey.
There would be times I wanted to try and be like I used to be, move back into my old life. I mean, all around me, my club, my brothers were doing it. All around me, they were laughing, having babies, living their lives, and they were happy. I wanted to be like that.
But it wasn't possible,
she whispers. I'm busy staring at our joined hands. I can't pull my eyes from them. If I do, I might stop, and I need to make her understand, if nothing else. I don't know if I'll get another chance, and I need her to understand. I tried, but something always happened. A memory of my daughter, doing the same things their kids would do, watching as they kissed their wives, just something small like that. It would bring back the reality that I lived in.
Because your family was gone?
She injects quietly, and she's mostly right, but it goes deeper than that. So I give her that, too. My family was gone, but why would a woman want to be around a monster, Hayden? Why would a woman invite an animal who was riddled in scars, who had a soul as black as midnight, and was slowly dying from the inside out? What woman would want a man like that to touch her? Her hand constricts so forcefully on mine, it might hamper blood flow. But I like it. It feels solid. It feels reassuring. There was a girl. I mentioned her before. She had this huge crush on me for as long as I could remember. She was sweet, innocent, and all the things I had never had in my life. I never let myself act on it. There was Jan, and she might have been a cold-hearted bitch, but I needed to put Annabelle first. But still, I knew this girl cared, and I liked it. I had been making progress, trying to come out of my head in small moments and interact with my brothers. There was a family picnic. All the brothers and their families were there, and I was really trying. I was. It was all fake, but I was surviving being around everyone. That was an improvement. And then I heard her and the other girls talking about me. She didn't say anything I didn't already know. Still.
You told me,
Hayden murmurs.
She was
a cow and other colorful things. I remember beauty. I smile, bringing my free hand over our joined ones and just holding it there, letting the feelings inside of me settle. She wasn't wrong, though. I was repulsive.
You were, are, not.
Michael, you can't let close-minded— I was, I interrupt her. I absolutely was, inside where they couldn't see. I was repulsive. One of my brothers was celebrating the birthday of his son, and Skull was, too, and through the whole party I was trying to act normal, be normal. It was all fake. I wanted to scream at them and demand to know why their sons got to live and my daughter couldn't. I wanted to know what made them so special that they got to have time with their families. They got everything that had been taken from me. You see, Beauty, I wasn't normal. I was never going to be normal. Lucy was right that day. I'm repulsive.
Chapter 15. Hayden. I can't catch my breath. My heart is hurting so deeply for Michael. There's so much to process, and I'm trying to do it in short bursts, but he keeps giving me more, and with each new detail, I'm robbed of air. This isn't something I can digest and ignore. This will take days to truly understand, and I want to understand. I need to know the hell that Michael has been locked inside. I need to, because as much as I try to run, I want Michael for keeps. I want him to stay, and as stupid as it sounds, someday I hope he will come to care about me. I have so many questions. What did he mean when he said Jan was a bitch?